Good morning. Good morning. I want to thank Lenny Millis Jr. from Rehoboth, all the way from Rehoboth, coming over this morning. I do appreciate that. And we'll see where that goes, that town meeting out there. We're now joined by the Right Honorable Mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Good morning, Mayor. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Chris. Great to be here, as always. Here I am.
Mayor, what...
You got a lot of like equipment hanging around here, because you got this clock that's sitting here. That's
just there.
Just there.
It's just there.
At the wrong time. And
yeah.
If people could only see on radio.
I have nothing to do with anything here. I'm a three and done kind of guy. I come in, I do my 3 hours, I'm out the door.
Somebody else's.
Yeah, everybody else's. It's all Tim's problem. Tim makes this place run. Mayor, a lot of people ran. A lot of people ran yesterday. Not everybody makes it. Your thoughts on the election results?
Yeah, so for the city election results... I can't say that I was shocked by any of the results.
No.
As I sort of think about, let's start with the at-large races. I mean, the people who worked it were rewarded.
Yeah.
Ian Abreu worked it.
He does.
James Roy worked it, and so they stood out above the pack. It's not to say that their others weren't working hard. It's just that they really sort of stood out as really... being out there an awful lot, and that's, you know, for a position like our large counselor, where the voters, for which the voters have 5 votes, if you're a new candidate in particular, that you come in without any negatives, right, in general, and for usually, and so it's a matter of name recognition, which is in many ways is a function of either money or just time on task, getting out there and meeting
right.
people. So you know, James certainly did that. Ian too. Ian spent a lot of time out there, and he spent some money. He's raised some money. So it's kind of follows form. As far as the ward races go. Ward 2 is really tight, but Scott Pemberton, you know, congratulations to him. He certainly put the time in.
Yes.
And it showed. I suspect that one will be subject to a recount because it was so close.
I agree.
I forget what the triggering percentage is, but it's maybe it's within, it's not within something less than the margin of one standard deviation away from the mean, right? It's actually lower than that. I can't remember exactly what the legal standard is, but it looked close enough to trigger it.
Yes, I agree with that.
I'm looking at the other results. As far as school committee goes, you know, we had 2 open seats and 3 new candidates.
I thought Aloysius would have done better. He won, but...
I think he probably should not have put his full
right.
formal name on there, the one that didn't match
Rick
up
Porter would
match up with the campaign signs.
Yes.
I mean, I looked when I got into the voting booth. You know, as you know, I've endorsed him, and I've been looking for his name, and I couldn't find it initially because I didn't think he would. Listed as Richard Aloysius Porter III.
Yes,
it's
quite a name. I like it.
Being formal. But it didn't match up with Rick Porter on the campaign sign.
Yeah,
so,
it did not.
You know, that's for any candidate out there. It's just sort of an object lesson. Like, if you're running for a seat where people you need people to recognize your name, which is really any seat, but particularly if it's a seat for which there are multiple people, multiple slots, like school committee or at-large counselor, and you're running citywide, the name on the ballot better match up with the name on the campaign sign. So anyway, that's my interpretation. But congratulations to him. He got over the hump. Congratulations
yes.
to Vaughn Marie Moniz, who I talked to this morning, for putting the work in and getting over the hump as well. She's been very active in the city the last few years, and I think she'll do a good job. And that's pretty much it. I mean, and Joe Lopes, I think, worked it really hard in Ward 5. He didn't take that for granted, and it showed. And so, I look forward to working with all the new folks and the ones who are – and everybody, but I want to congratulate everybody who won last night, but more particularly for the ones who are just coming in. I just want to make sure that we're – We're giving them everything they need to get up to speed on the job, because it is, there is a learning curve for everybody to ascend when they get into office. And so the faster you do it, the more effective, the earlier you become effective.
We have the mayor of New Bedford here in the studio. You know, we talked about it throughout the campaign. It shocked me how many people didn't either have the self-confidence or the knowledge to know that they should reach out to your office and meet with you, because nothing happens in the city without your approval or acquiescence. So it's that I thought was kind of lacking in the challengers, that to go, you know, just go meet with the mayor. He's the everything to some degree in the city government.
Well, some people did, and so they did, and I offered them what I could in the way of my opinion, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that's always useful for candidates to do that kind of outreach. And I'm not saying I've got all the answers. I mean, they should be reaching out to a lot of people. But,
sure.
But, yeah, no, I'm always willing to give people advice.
Mayor, we'll move on to other stuff, but I what do you think of the national election? What do you think of the new mayor of New York City? Your colleague now.
I think it is. Honestly, I think it's a bit of a fluke. And I think it's a fluke. I want to say call it a fluke. That's probably, it's an aberration. It's an aberration. It's an aberrant outcome. Because you had opponents in there who were all very flawed. The least flawed was Curtis Sliwa, really had no chance at all.
No business really in the race.
No. The Guardian Angels really haven't had a major presence. He's the founder of the Guardian Angels, and that's his claim to fame, but which was something that was much bigger in the 1990s than it is now. But I don't know why he didn't drop out of the race. He was polling at under 10%. So it just he helped pave the way for Mamdani. And then you had Eric Adams, who was the incumbent under indictment in the middle of the race. And then, of course, Cuomo, who had just within the last couple of years been driven out of the governor's office.
Yep.
And despite that, he still got 40% of the vote. So it just goes to show that the stars were aligned in a way to allow for some newcomer, and it turned out that this newcomer is, regardless of his political views, he's 34 years old, and he's 34 years old and doesn't have any experience, and he's about to run probably the most complex city in the world,
yes,
arguably.
Right.
So, arguably the commercial capital world, and certainly the most prominent city in the U.S. So, he needs to get a lot of good people around him,
right,
and we'll see. But he's pretty young. It's not just the youth; it's just the lack of experience. Now, he's a terrific communicator.
He is.
He is really good on the stump. He is really good on social media, and he effectively talked about the things that people were talking about during his campaign. So, especially about the affordability of all kinds of everyday items. So I think all in all, what I take is more of a more representative of where the country is the victories of the two Democrats in the gubernatorial races in Virginia,
sure,
and New Jersey. They're both really strong candidates. They're two women who had national security backgrounds and in the Democratic Party, that is perceived as being weak. Two women who are running who are both relatable, but nobody could accuse them of being weak.
Right.
So I think that's kind of where the Democratic Party should go. There's a big debate in the Democratic Party about which direction to take, become more progressive.
You're in that debate.
Yeah, and the way I come down on it is that people want Democrats to put forward serious candidates, mm-hmm, people who can get stuff done and who may not be as entertaining as a game show host, but that's not
right.
That's not why we're in the business. And I think those races in New Jersey and in Virginia were telling in that those are states that flip back and forth between Democratic and Republican governors over the years, and they won by a lot.
Yeah.
Each of them won by a lot.
It is interesting where the Democrat Party is going to go. Is it Mondami? Or
yeah, no.
It,
the Republicans are predictably trying to paint the Mondami victory as being representative of where the Democratic Party is. I don't think that's where people are. I don't think that's where the Democratic Party is, and sure not where independents who might vote Democrat are anywhere, including here in New Bedford. I also happen to think that. I think that it just is. I've seen a lot of polling recently that suggests that people just want electable Democrats who aren't taking extreme positions. And I think these days, a lot of the folks who are like Mondami tend to be the louder part of the Democratic Party.
Right.
So people assume that that volume equates to influence.
Yes.
And it doesn't. When you get right down to it.
We have the mayor of New Bedford. We're going to pivot back to city issues with him here. If you want to speak with the mayor, you can at 508-996-0. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid.
I wanted to play that whole song, Mayor, but we can't.
We don't have
the right license. Great song. That, of course, off the Mayor's playlist, the Pinball Wizard by The Who off the album Tommy. Mayor, you had a pretty big event here in the city of New Bedford. Blue economy type stuff. You had down both Congressman Auchincloss and Congressman Bill Keating down to look at the debut of, we'll talk about it, Mayor. What'd you have?
Well, so what you're referring to is a ribbon cutting of sorts for a prototype vessel that could mean a lot for, in theory, it could mean a lot for the ability of the United States to wage a war in the Pacific. So the company is called Blue Water Autonomy, and it was founded by a guy named Ryland Hamilton, who I was introduced to through a common friend, and started another company that developed robots for Amazon. He sold that for $450 million to Spotify, so he made a lot of money. So he's an established entrepreneur. He's in the Navy, and so he had an interest in doing something around autonomous vessels. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before about how because of what people refer to as the evolving threat of asymmetric warfare, mm-hmm. like a $10,000 drone can wipe out, as we saw in those videos in Ukraine, a $100 million strategic bomber. The same threat applies to the marine environment, where a swarm of drones could conceivably knock out a $1 billion destroyer. Or aircraft carrier, whatever. So one of the ways in which the Navy's strategy is evolving in the Pacific is to think about the use of autonomous vessels that can carry either personnel, but more particularly autonomous weapon systems, like missiles that can be launched from an office building in the middle of Iowa.
Right.
Or supplies, sea lift supplies. So, and that way, by having these autonomous vessels out there, you don't risk wiping out a whole crew of folks who are vulnerable to, among other things, to drone attacks. So this technology is very cutting edge, as you might suspect, and so. What they asked us to do is say, "Hey, can we test it out here? Can we? Can you?" And we've as I've said before, we've long wanted to position New Bedford as a place where
right.
lots of marine technology can be tried out. And we've been doing more and more of that these days. And as the Department of Defense is looking to put more money into these things, it's an opportune time economically for us to be in this space. So this was really a showcase thing. You don't see the fully developed vessel is in there. They're using a barge, but the barge is being powered by this engine that is run autonomously. It can be run remotely, or it can be run through, ultimately it will be run through through AI technology and be at sea for a long time and be present, because I think that's really the key to be able to for these vessels to stay out in the Pacific for months at a time and sure. not have to refuel. So anyways, we had this launch and it was kind of a cool event and all that, but I say that because I just want, and some people probably saw the press on it, what we're trying to do is, again, we're trying to take advantage of what we do out in the water. Mm-hmm. And we're really good at that. We've got the infrastructure, but being a place that can test out equipment will make it more likely that we'll see investment
right.
here. So this is a company that when I was introduced to them a year ago, like mm-hmm. back last summer, not this past one, the one before. So in the roughly, I don't know, 15 months or so, they've gone from 3 employees to 45 employees.
Wow.
Just like that.
And they're backed by
Google, and yep. they're backed by other venture capital firms. So, it's good stuff. And it's not to say they're going to build a massive factory in New Bedford, but the more that we can be seen as a place where you want to go to try out stuff and
right.
convene people and so forth, that's that puts us in a good position. So that was a good event. If people hadn't seen it, they can go to the website, Blue Water Autonomy, and you can learn more about it.
Mayor, you've submitted a $150,000 appropriation order to the City Council for legal services for the Board of Health in the Parallel Products Appeal. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's what the Board of Health needs. That's what their attorney says they need to advance their case, and so that's what we're putting forward to the council. And I suspect, and we've already heard from the council that they support such things and will support such things. And so I anticipate that will proceed. But I wanted to wait till after the election to make that happen. So that's. And we just got the request anyway, so that's just coincided. But I think that'll put them in a good position to give them what they need to defend their case. That's what they need, and so that's what we're giving them.
We all know the government shutdown continues. Both sides are obviously pointing fingers at one another, but the city is taking some action on their own to help the people who need it. Talk about that, please.
Are you talking about the? Food. Oh, you're talking about SNAP. You're talking about SNAP benefits. The SNAP benefit problem delay is a real problem, and it's not. I shouldn't say it's a delay. It's that the benefits have been largely cut off. A judge in Rhode Island ordered the Trump administration to draw down from a reserve account to pay for the benefits. The Trump administration has said, "All right, to comply with that order, we're going to pay some of those benefits until that reserve account, that savings account, basically exhausts itself," which will be over, I think, a few weeks. So what that means is for families who get SNAP benefits, they're not going to get all of it. So I think it's just really unfortunate. And people don't choose to be, that people don't aspire to be on food stamps, right? That's what the SNAP benefits are, right? You do it because you have to do it. And in New Bedford, we've got, we have literally tens of thousands of people who rely on this.
Yes.
It's a big part of our population. So, you know, we need to, regardless of who's at fault down in D.C., and honestly, I don't care. I think those debates detract from the real problem, which is that people need to be fed. So, you know, we've been working with our food banks to help them get the word out about donations, both of food, mm-hmm. of people's time, because they need volunteers, as well as money.
Yes.
So places like Pace, places like a lot of the churches in the city, the United Way of Greater New Bedford is playing a part. You can make donations, financial donations, by going to the United Way of Greater New Bedford's website. That's one way to do it. But you can also go to various food banks around the city and donate food. And you know, we're going to be doing more of that as time goes on. We've launched something. within city government to encourage people to give. But there's a big need here. And as we get into the holidays, it's the need only increases. So I hope that the federal government comes to its senses.
Yeah.
But for now, we just we got to help people who need to feed their families.
Yeah, it's outrageous. They can't figure it out. I know the governor had a press conference. I watched it. Project Bread seems to be the place to go, as well as the United Way here in New Bedford.
There's stuff going on up in Boston. I would just say, like, we need people here in New Bedford, in the New Bedford area, stepping up. And the way to do that, if you want to, you can give to directly the United Way of Greater New Bedford for that purpose. So just go to their website, or again, volunteer your time or give food.
And they're right downtown at the DeMello International Center. Mayor, in order to avoid the significant city resources being spend for no reason, and prevent the possible distraction of the New Bedford Police Department's public safety mission, you have submitted Chief Thode's name to the City Council for confirmation. Talk about
The City Council. The City Council's attorney, David Gorotowski, reached out to the city, our city solicitor, Eric Jakes, and said, you know, the council would be willing to put aside this thing if the mayor submitted the chief's name using the language that they've become accustomed to, which is to say that I submit for confirmation Chief Thode. It's not, so we're not compromising our legal position, but I said, okay, I'll send a letter like that. So I think that'll obviate the need for both sides to be spending. That's not both sides. It's the city spending money for both sides,
right,
in this litigation. It's the resources of, it's the opportunity cost of having their attorney and our attorney, both paid by the city, working on this thing as opposed to all the other things they have on their plate.
Right.
So my understanding is that the council is going to take this up. And as I said, this has always been the case for us. The chief is always ready to come before the council to ask it to answer its questions.
I've seen him there.
Yeah.
They were treating him like the chief.
That's right. So he's still ready to go. And so I look forward to the council.
Is he relieved?
I don't think he really cares.
I know. Yeah. He bought a house, I understand, in the South End.
He's living in the city, and he's off to a good start, and there's a lot on his plate, but he's doing well.
Mayor, we're going to take a break and then we'll be back. I want to hear the next song coming up from the mayor's playlist.
Very exciting.
Very exciting stuff, guys. If you want to call, you can, 508-996-05. And stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. There's a little bit of Nine Inch Nails off the mayor's playlist, his eclectic playlist. You know, step into the craft beer time capsule that is Rose Alley Ale House right in the downtown New Bedford. What a beautiful neighborhood they're in. Rose Alley Ale House, unwavering commitment to craft beer and delectable buffalo wings can only be outmatched by its love for the city of New Bedford. Rose Alley Ale House is the number one reason to come and visit the city of New Bedford. Now, after you've crushed a beer or two, savored some bone-in or bone-out wings, or even ripped a shot or two with your pals in the underground Sub Rosa Bar, then and only then, check out a museum, shop local retailers, or take a tour of the national park, or simply admire the beauty of the neighborhood. Come and see us at Rose Alley Ale House. Great bartenders. The number one reason to visit the city of New Bedford. It's not just a bar, Mayor.
It is a New Bedford institution, Chris.
That's correct. Rose Alley Ale House. Mayor, is the National Park open?
No.
So they just have to go to a museum. See some Bierstads.
Well, there's lots of stuff people can see, of course, Chris. They can.
But those Bierstadt paintings.
The Whaling Museum has Bierstadts, yeah.
I mean, that people don't realize what a treasure that guy was. Came out of the city of New Bedford and is the reason his paintings inspired the whole national park system.
I have a picture of me at a White House event from a few years ago standing under two Bierstadts in the West Wing. They're right there. It's like a big... Yeah.
It's amazing.
On permanent display in the White House.
I often think that something more could be done with all of that stuff, the artwork, because it's such a draw. It can be anyway, if people realized it.
Well, we're working on those things.
I know you are.
At the Art Museum. Yeah, there's a number of things going on there. The Art Museum in particular is under new leadership. Suzanne DeVay is doing a fabulous job, and we emptied out the second floor. We had a number of city employees, and the Art Museum is going to expand upward to the second floor, really to double its exhibit space. And so, there's going to be some good stuff there. So a lot to look forward to.
That Audubon painting that Mr. Holland gave to the city, amazing.
Yeah, given to his great grandfather in 1832 by Audubon himself.
Yes.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. So, pretty cool story. The Art Museum is doing very well, and it's got a lot of potential, and there's more good stuff to come there.
It is
sometimes surprising how many people in the region don't know about it.
Right.
It does bring in a lot of school children, so they're exposed to it. But even then, there are a lot of kids who are not aware of it. So we've got stuff throughout the city to take advantage of, but one of those things is the Art Museum. It's a really, really terrific institution.
Paul Johnson, the British historian, in his History of America, points out Bierstadt and the fact that he came from New Bedford. He's a German immigrant, and paintings and the significant part of it. I get really proud of it. I really am.
He was part of what's called the Hudson Valley School of landscape.
Yeah.
Painting, and he went out after the Civil War to paint the West, the what became the national monuments and the national parks, and all just how grand they were, and brought it back east, and people back east hadn't seen those images before, and it was a big deal, and so I think it's contributed to the sort of the mythological image that people have of the West,
right.
And so he was a big part of that. There are lots of paintings here in the city that he did, and they're worth plenty.
They really are worth a lot. And you can see them all online now today. You know, it's not like just looking at them in a book, and it's really cool. And the ships he painted of New Bedford, and in Fairhaven, and the sequoias he painted out west. No, Bierstadt, and you have the paintings in the city, and people really ought to go and see them. Mayor, Veterans Day is Tuesday. The New Bedford's annual parade steps off from Buttonwood Park at 11 a.m. It's always a great day.
Yeah, we put on a great parade.
You do.
And this year it comes up right up fast after Election Day, but we have, this year, a good, really good parade that was put together by the Veterans Advisory Board, Chris Gomes, our director of veteran services in particular, and Bob Bromley. But we have the grand marshal this year is Command Sergeant Major James Rollins, who joined the Army in 1960 and served for 25 years, including over in Vietnam. But he's a great guy, and he's going to be the marshal for this year. And with lots of bands that play in it, including the Beverly High School Band, which just won the Division II New England Championship. I think I have that right. There's an acronym for it. But they won for the first time in a while, won a really big, prominent regional award. I say regional, not just like Greater New Bedford, but like the Northeast.
Okay.
So they'll be out there as well. Dartmouth High School Band usually plays in it as well. They've long had a terrific program, and a number of other entities will be in the parade. So come on out. Look, what I say every year, and this is true, I think that if it counts for a lot just to show up to the parade, sure. So that people who have served see that. So it's gratifying for them, but it also says something about just how important service is to future generations, right? That we revere veterans now says something about the worthiness of service and might encourage others to serve.
Mayor, we're going to take some phone calls now. We're at 508-996-0500 so you can get on the air. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Morning, Chris. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Listen, we talked about the voting machines again yesterday that for some reason it keeps happening over and over again, Mr. Mayor. And I know how things work. And maybe we should throw some holy water over at Vibra Hospital to make sure the machines are working before they stop. Maybe we'll do like a exorcist or something. Make sure that nothing goes wrong here and then throw some holy water. But let's get serious a little bit. We may. How can we talk about this to reassure that the investment public goes out and votes, but it keeps happening again, over and over again, in this same district, Mr. Mayor. Is this some type of like, I don't even want to know what to call it, because it just keeps happening. And then, I guess, nobody's talked about it, nobody's reporting on what's happened. Did Brito put out a press conference or some type of email that goes out, talks about the machines, what really happened, what can we do to avoid it again, and stuff like that. So I'd like to hear from you, Mr. Mayor, like what can we do to reassure that these machines are not breaking down? Should we go to count by hand again like we used to do? I mean, it doesn't take long to count. How many, 11% of votes that come in, even if it comes in at 1 o'clock in the morning, at least the integrity of these machines breaking down. I mean, we're 2025, we think that we have a machine that can work properly. And if they're being checked, or maybe put somebody at the polls that knows how to work the machine and get it corrected right away.
Thanks for the call. Thank you.
Yeah, no, well, there was a statement put out by the solicitor's office that had looked into it, and because we got a couple of calls about machines being jammed up, and they were quickly released. There was nobody who showed up to vote who could not vote as a result, and so there was quickly, and all the votes were counted, so it was quickly fixed. And look, this happens when you have a lot of machines that are out there, and so I think it happens a lot more frequently across America than you might think. Machines get bollocks up, and so what you need to be able to do is fix them when that happens, right? It's not dissimilar from a Coke machine getting jammed up. You just unjam it, right? You just hit the machine and allow it to be freed up. So I wouldn't put I think this thing is I think what you saw yesterday was something that was fairly routine in the machines got jammed up in that it was dealt with promptly.
508-996-0500 with the mayor of New Bedford, as we always do here on Wednesday. Mayor, the shutdown in of the government, it continues. You're locally, you're collecting food, trying to get people to collect money at the United Way. But is there any other impact it's having on the city, or is it just not a big deal?
Well, I think the SNAP benefits are a big deal.
That's a big deal.
That's a real big deal.
Yes.
But
it's for your purposes as the government. Are you seeing any impact?
I mean, you've noted it before. The national park's been closed. There are people that we can't get a hold of. I was in Washington the last couple of days, and there were lots of meetings that I tried to put together at NOAA, right, at the White House, and like, people just aren't calling back. People that we do talk to. I was able to get a meeting in with Senator Markey. I talked to him about the Homer's Wharf project where we're trying to pursue funding. It's hard for me to, like, we've got stuff that for which we seek federal funding or federal support one way or the other, and that's just it's hard to accomplish these days with the closure being as long as it's been. So that's That's one thing. The fishing industry is dealing with NOAA's being closed, and so look, the regulations. There are a lot of new regulations that we'd like to see happen, and there's some reporting that has to happen, and it's just not getting done.
Have you taken a position in Markey versus Moulton, or Moulton versus Markey in the Democrat primary for U.S. Senate?
Well, so I mean, we've been public with this, or at least his campaign is. I endorsed Senator Markey, okay, among many folks who are standing with our sitting senator. I mean, he's done a lot more than around here than people think, especially when it comes to the things that I would put at the top of the list are some of the port projects. So, like Leonard's Wharf, which is being constructed right now, benefited from his weighing in with the then Secretary of Transportation to get us money.
Sure.
Same thing with the North Terminal project, where look at all the fishing boats pulled up there. That was a terrific project. Local, state, federal money going in there, but a slug of that came from a grant that he weighed in for us on.
Those the boats we see behind the hardware store on the island, right?
No, I'm talking about the North Terminal off of, so like if you know where the EPA building is, to that. Yeah. So, you know, and he's always been somebody who's engaged in our local interests. So, yeah, so I've standing with him.
We'll take a break and then we'll be back more with the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell, when you come back. Damn, another eclectic song off the mayor's playlist.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. And you told me it's from what soundtrack?
It's from the Boogie Nights soundtrack. Yeah.
It was an eclectic playlist today. So, Mayor, thank you for coming in. What's big happening in the city and here in the remaining 2 minutes we have left?
Oh, well, we had that election, of course, right?
Yes.
So, you know, what I look forward to is, you know, with some turnover on the city council, I look forward to getting a lot done. There's a lot on the plate right now, ranging
yes.
from a number of zoning reforms that we think will help increase the housing supply and maybe mm-hmm. push down on prices. I think that's really important for the city council to take up now that we've turned the corner on the election. And as we stated before, there's a couple of other measures that the city council's lawsuit, we think they can put that to bed. And
recall.
So, we hope that can start to move forward as well. So there's a lot of work ahead, and I look forward to engaging the council now that it's turned the corner on the election.
Mayor, appreciate you coming in. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Folks, stick around.